Hello and welcome to the Unity Presbyterian Church podcast. This week in worship, Pastor David takes a look at Paul as he is shipwrecked on an island and how he faces that with courage. Let's listen.
Well, a couple of years ago, I took a group of 60 youth to Alaska on a mission trip, which was a really kind of neat experience. I mean, that part of the world is just like no other that you really kind of go to. And so for part of that trip, we decided to go take a walk around Kincaid Park near Anchorage. And Kincaid Park just has miles and miles of undeveloped wilderness where you can just walk around and explore and see the beautiful nature of Alaska. Well, a group of 60 is really too large to all hike together. And so we broke up into three groups of 20, thinking that would be more manageable. And so I led one of the groups of 20, and we took off just picking a trail at random. And it was a nice, wide trail surrounded by trees. You know, the sun was shining, birds are chirping. You get kind of the image of that sort of walk. And it was just beautiful. And we're walking along this trail, and we're enjoying the scenery, and we're looking all around, and it's a great experience. But over time, the trail began to narrow, and the forest became a little bit more thick. And in fact, over time, the trees, it seemed like, grew larger and actually blocked out the sun because they were all overhanging. And so this became, pretty quickly, a narrow, dark trail deep in the woods of Alaska. It was at that moment I was thinking to myself, we should probably turn around, you know, get back to more of the bright lights and sunshine in Alaska. And yet we didn't turn around quite quickly enough, because in that moment, a large black bear walked right across the path in front of us, 20 feet in front of us. Now, that's a picture of a bear we saw. That's not the bear. That was earlier. But I wanted to show you this picture because it gives you an idea of how big the black bears are in Alaska. I mean, I know we have black bears here in North Carolina, and we probably all have our bear stories, but Alaskan bears, oh my word, they are much, much larger than I really expected. And so this large black bear comes right out into the path in front of us, and so I whip my arms to the side, and I say, everybody wait, there's a bear. Slowly start taking steps back. Come on, slowly group, slowly. And it was at that moment that I saw two little cubs just hop out right behind the bear. And so I went, okay, a little bit faster now, a little bit faster. Come on, let's go behind us. And really, two things needed to happen in that moment. The first is that our group of 20 had to stay together. I mean, if that group of 20 stays together, most likely that bear is not going to do a thing. Now, if one of the youth took off running, well, then all bets are off. But if we all stayed together, we really should be fine. But the second thing that had to happen was the bear had to decide what was it going to do with this random group of Floridians wandering through the Alaskan wilderness. And so the bear, it turned, it stared at us for a couple of seconds, and then thankfully turned back to the forest and just walked off and kind of disappeared, to which point we then turned around and very quickly walked back to where we came from. But it got me thinking, that group of 20 youth had to show quite a bit of courage in that moment. They need to show the courage to just stand there as a group when probably everything in their minds and their bodies was screaming at them, run, there's a bear, run. They had to have the courage to say, no, we need to stay as a group. We need to listen to what David's saying and stand exactly where we are. It makes me wonder, when's the last time you've had to show courage in your life? And where did that sense of courage come from? That's going to be one of the questions that we try to answer today, is where does courage come from? Perhaps the last time you've had to show courage was you had a speaking presentation, and maybe you just hate speaking. And you can remember sitting there, and you're counting down the minutes, going, oh, I don't want to do this. Your heart's beating faster. Your palms are getting sweaty. And then your name is called to stand up and get in front of that group. And the last thing you want to do is get up and stand out in front of that group. You want to turn around and run for the exits. But somewhere in you, you find the courage to stand up, to walk in front of that group, and to give your presentation. Or maybe you can remember being dropped off at college, and you're excited. It's a totally new experience, But you still need to find some courage within you to say, I can live independently. I can be by myself. And your parents need to find the courage to drive away and to believe that you can also live independently and live by yourselves. Or maybe you've had just this unhealthy habit, and it's just been gnawing at you for years, and you've ignored it. But then finally one day you found the courage to say, I'm going to face this, and I'm going to take the small steps I need to work to overcome this. Yeah, when is the last time that you need to show some courage? Well, we're studying the life and the teachings of Paul. And actually, we only have 2 weeks left. We have this week and next week. And so we're going to begin to study the end of Paul's life this week. And Paul, near the end of his life, had several opportunities to show courage in his life. In fact, as we remember from previous weeks, Paul was arrested. Like, Rome did not know why, the Roman soldiers, why he was stirring up so much hatred among people. And so they arrested him, and then they brought him in front of the Sanhedrin. You've probably seen that word before when you're reading through Scripture, but Sanhedrin was like the council of the Jewish leaders. It was like the Jewish Supreme Court. And so Paul is taken in front of the Jewish Supreme Court to plead his case, to basically say, this is why you should release me. Yes, I know you're mad that I'm preaching the gospel, but this is why you should release me. And so that's what Paul does. Paul comes in front of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court. He pleads his case, and things get so violent, so extreme, well, that I can't even describe them to you. We need to read it directly from Scripture. Our story picks up in Acts chapter 23, and this is what we are told. It says, the dispute became so violent that the commander of the Roman army was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. Yeah, the Jewish leaders who are hearing Paul's case are so mad at him and so mad at what Paul's been doing by creating what, in their view, was this new religion, that they wanted to tear him to pieces. In fact, shortly after this verse, we're told that a group of men decided to go on a fast. They said, we're not going to eat any more food until we're able to kill Paul. That's how dire this situation has become near the end of Paul's life. That's how much hatred there is for Paul at the end of Paul's life. If you were in Paul's shoes, how would you be feeling in this moment? I mean, he's taken back to prison. He's waiting in that cell after almost being torn apart to pieces by the Sanhedrin. And if I was Paul, I bet I would just be feeling kind of down in the dumps, kind of left alone, depressed, scared for my life. And it's in that moment that makes this next verse then all the more intimate. The next verse says this, that night the Lord stood near to him. I find that to be a really touching verse. I mean, what an affectionate thing for God to do, to stand near to Paul in prison after Paul just went through a day like that, almost being torn apart by the Sanhedrin. I mean, what a picture of God being close to his people in times of severe challenges. Yes, the Lord stood near to Paul, but then also delivered a message to Paul. And here's the message. God said, keep up your courage. For just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also preach the good news in Rome. All right, there are two really important things that I want you to hear from this message that God gives to Paul as he's sitting in that prison cell. The first thing that God says to Paul is to keep up your courage. Now, the word courage in Greek is tharseo, and what that means is to bolster from within. Now, to bolster something is to support something or strengthen it. And so the implication here is that in those times when you need courage in your life, it's like God is coming from within you and strengthening you from within so that you can have the courage to face whatever you need to face in that day. So we started this sermon time together asking, where does courage come from? And looking at the Greek word of courage, we can answer that, well, courage comes from within you. From within you in those moments when you recognize that God is near to you, that God is accessible to you, and God is going to work through you
to strengthen you and bolster you in that moment where you are in need of courage. Well, Paul, he needs courage to face what he is facing. Near the end of his life, when he doesn't know where the end of the road will take him, he needs courage. And so God comes to him and says, keep up your courage, reminding Paul that God is with him in that moment. But then the second thing that God says to Paul is this: you have a new mission, to take the gospel to Rome. Now that's a brand new thing for Paul. I mean, Paul at this point is in Jerusalem. And it's like God is saying, you've done a great job. You've done a good job sharing about the message of the good news in Jerusalem, but now I'm sending you somewhere new. I'm sending you to the very heart of the Roman world, the epicenter of cultural life in that day and age. I'm sending you to Rome, and I want you to continue to preach the good news in Rome. Now, that is actually a bit of a complicated thing for God to be asking Paul. In fact, let's get the map up on the screen, and you can see that Jerusalem is way, 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 way down here, like we showed the kids. And then you see Rome is in directly the other corner. And Paul then would have to take a boat and journey all that way, which would be a long journey, all the way up to Rome. That is what God is asking Paul to do. Now, for us, we could just fly there. If we wanted to take a boat, we would think, great, this is a nice scenic journey. I'm going to really enjoy this. But think about the type of boats they had 2,000 years ago. And think about the technology and the sophistication that has evolved since that time to where we are today. And you'll be reminded that boat travel during this day and age was actually a really kind of dangerous way to travel. And so you really were at the mercy of the weather. And Paul knows that this is not going to be the easiest journey, and yet it's where God is calling him. And so what he does is he decides the next day to appeal his case. He's a Roman citizen, and so he appeals his case, and he says, I want to be heard directly in front of the emperor. And because he's a Roman citizen, they say, okay, all right, we're going to send you to the emperor to appeal your case. And so they put him on a boat with 276 other people, and they send him off to Rome. Now, they don't have a very good start to their journey. The winds are not quite right. It takes longer than expected to get there. And the time of year that this is happening was late fall. And so Paul at one point, we're not going to read this, I'll just recap it, but Paul at one point says, we should probably winter in one of these other ports because I don't think we're going to make it all the way to Rome before the bad weather really turns. Because when winter comes, it's going to be treacherous to try to make it on the open seas all the way to Rome. But the captain of the ship says, nah, we can make it. We can make it. We're going to go. We are supposed to go to Rome. I'm being paid to go to Rome. And so we're going to go all the way to Rome. And that is when we pick up our scripture from Acts 27. It says this: when a moderate south wind began to blow, they thought they could achieve their purpose of getting to Rome. And so they weighed anchor and began to sail past Crete, close to the shore. But soon, a violent wind, called a northeaster, rushed down from Crete. And since the ship was caught and could not be turned head-on into the wind, we gave way to it and were driven. We sailed along the sheltered side of a small island named Cotta, where with great difficulty we hoisted aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. And then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. Then, fearing they would run aground on Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and were driven by the wind. We were being pounded by the storm so violently that on the next day, they began to throw the cargo overboard. And you know things are bad when you begin to throw cargo overboard. And then on the third day, with their own hands, they threw the ship's tackle overboard. And then check this out. When neither the sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the terrible storm continued to rage, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. I wonder, what would it take for seasoned sailors, 276 seasoned sailors, to abandon all hope because of the type of storm that they were in the midst of? I mean, the sun and the stars have all but vanished because it's been replaced by clouds and wind and rain and waves. They can't see anymore the sun. That is what they're in the middle of. And the people around Paul decide, we're giving up hope. We're giving up hope. We cannot be saved. We cannot be rescued. This is it for us. I wonder how much Paul must have been feeling in that moment. I mean, remember, Paul believed that God wanted him to go to Rome, that God told him, you are going to go preach the good news in Rome. And you would think, or at least I would anticipate, that if Paul sends you, or God sends you somewhere, it's going to be a smooth journey. Wouldn't you think? Maybe Paul was anticipating this. And yet, now Paul finds himself in the middle of the storm of the century, and everyone around him has given up hope of making it out of this storm. If you were Paul, what would you be feeling, and how would you be feeling about God right now, who, for all intents and purposes, puts you on that boat? Well, before we get to Paul's reactions, I want you to ask that question of how you respond to life's storms in your life. Because an important part of Bible study is taking the stories of the Bible and then applying them directly to what's happening in your life, in your circumstances. And so we need to take this passage and say, well, yeah, how do I respond when life is storming all around me? How do I respond when I think I'm heading in one direction and then all of a sudden I'm detoured somewhere where I did not expect myself to go? Yeah, how do I respond when I have the wind just knocked out of me? You can all probably point to things in your life and periods of your life where you've been detoured. And the detours seem as intense as a shipwreck or as unexpected as a storm. Perhaps it's been a loss of a job that you expected to hold, that you had high hopes for, and all of a sudden you lost it, and you feel rudderless. You feel like you don't have traction anymore, and you're not sure exactly where to go. Or perhaps you unexpectedly had a relationship turn sour, and there's conflict where there once was just happy feelings, and you're left going, how do I respond and move forward with this relationship? Or maybe you say, no, my life is actually going pretty good right now, but you know of people who seem to be in the middle of life's storms, who seem to be knocked down by the wind and the rain and the challenges of life, and they seem adrift without their footing. We can all probably relate to these sorts of experiences where we are set adrift and knocked down by life's storms. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves is, how do we respond when life puts us on a detour? Well, keep that answer in your mind as we then go read about how Paul chose to respond to this very real detour in his own life. So when everyone else has given up hope around him and they are just literally drifting at sea, here's what Paul does. In verse 21, since they had been without food for a long time, Paul then stood up among them and said, men, you should have listened to me. You should not have set sail from Crete and thereby avoided this damage and loss. We can be assured that Paul has many positive qualities, but apparently tact is not one of them. But after a quick I told you so to this crew, he then gives them these really touching words of assurance. In verse 22, I urge you now to keep up your courage. Wait, where have we heard that before? Keep up your courage. That's exactly what God told to Paul before Paul headed on this journey to begin with. When God came to him in that prison cell, when he was at one of his lowest lows, and God came to him, stood near to him, and said, keep up your courage. That obviously meant something to Paul. Paul internalized that deep within himself. And so now, when life has gotten way off course and everything around him seems like it's falling apart, he remembers those words from God, to keep up your courage. And not only does he remember those and believe those, but he shares them then with that crew that crew that has abandoned all hope, that doesn't think they're going to make it off that ship, he shares those words from God with them as well. He turns and looks at those men. I imagine them looking very scared and wet in those moments. He looks at them and says, keep up your courage. And not only that, but he goes on to say more words of encouragement for them, of who and how they can get through that storm in their life. But we need to pause for a second and say, okay, that's Paul's reaction, but what could have been Paul's reaction? I mean, as I was thinking through this story and the many ways we could have responded to being in the middle of what Paul was in the middle of, we could have responded in this way. We'll get this on the screen. Paul could forget why God put him on that journey to begin with. I mean, don't you think if he was in the midst of all that and all that was going around him, Paul could have easily forgotten, why am I even here? Why did I sign up for this? Shouldn't I have just stayed safe in my prison cell in Jerusalem and not on this sinking ship? Paul could have forgotten why God even called him there. Or the second option I thought of is Paul could begin to doubt that God is actually going to come through for him. I mean, Paul could see all that was going wrong in his world, and he could have used that as evidence that God is not going to show up for me, that God has abandoned me, that maybe I misinterpreted what I believed God wanted me to do. I mean, all of those would be very reasonable responses for Paul to have with what was happening in his life. And yet, instead, Paul said, no, keep up your courage. He remembered God's words to him. And then he goes on to say this to the group. He says, keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For last night there stood by me an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before the emperor. And indeed, God has granted safety to all those who are sailing with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we will have to run aground on some island. And they did. They ran aground on an island and were eventually rescued and were able to continue their journey. We'll read more about that next week. But the question we have here is, how could Paul maintain his courage when all 276 other seasoned sailors around him had given up all hope? Well, it's simple. God told Paul that he would speak before the emperor, and Paul believed God. It's as simple as that. Paul believed God. I heard a pastor once say this, and we'll get this on the screen, that there's a difference between believing in God and believing God. Faith is about believing God and believing that you can trust God and live your life according to God and what God is doing in your life. Faith is not believing in an idea of God and then talking and debating that idea. No, faith is believing that God is in your life on a day-to-day level and then responding to where God is moving you and believing where God is moving you each and every day. Paul believed God that, yes, God wanted him to go speak in front of that emperor, and God took him then on that journey. You know, this story is a good reminder that progress in our lives or progress in our faith rarely follows a straight line. For Paul, God said, you're going to go to Rome, and we might assume, okay, he's going to go directly to Rome because God wants him to go there, but instead, he ends up shipwrecked. And how often in our lives is that similar? Like you feel that God has placed something on your heart, and you head out with gusto to do that thing, and then life storms come, and you end up shipwrecked, or you end up in a detoured area, and you didn't get to where you thought you were going to be, at least right away. In fact, I found this comic, we can get this on the screen, that kind of illustrates this point. We sometimes think that success is just, yep, you go straight there. But how often in life are there detours and curves and setbacks and you take a couple steps back before going forward? How often is that actually progress in our lives? And that's same with faith. That faith is not always this straight line of progress. Sometimes it takes some detours and some setbacks before you get to where God is asking you to go. But if you are in the middle of a storm and you find that your courage is being lost, Keep up your courage is what Paul says. Because Paul believed that he would speak to the emperor. And that was almost his true north in the midst of the storm. It was his true north that God said, I was going to go to Rome and speak to the emperor. And so no matter what happens between now and then, I believe that God's going to get me to where God has called me. That is his true north in this situation. Now, I bet you haven't had God whisper into your ear like Paul that, yes, you are going to do this specific thing. And yet, we still have the promises in the Bible that we can root ourselves in a very similar way that Paul rooted himself in this promise that I'm going to go to Rome, that that's what God is asking me to do. And so we, in a similar way, when life is going crazy around us, can root ourselves in the words of Scripture. We can look at Scripture and say, yes, God still wants me to do what God is calling me to do. Let me give you an example of that. Now, you can take any one of these promises in Scripture, but here's one I chose as an example for this week. It's an Old Testament prophet named Nahum. And Nahum says this to us, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. That's a promise that God makes to each one of us. It's a promise about who God is and how God's going to interact with us in life. And that's a promise where if all life is going crazy, you can root yourself in that promise, just like Paul rooted himself in the promise that he was going to go to Rome. And so you can remind yourself, whenever you need to, that the Lord is good. It may not seem like that in your life right now. You might be really mad at God for some reason, but you can remind yourself, no, the Lord is good. That God is a refuge in times of trouble. God is my shelter when the winds and the rains are coming in life. And that God cares for me. That God cares for me, and I can then trust in God because God cares for me. That can be one example of the promises that we root ourselves in when we travel through the challenges of life. And so here's my practical hope for you, is that you scour through your Bibles this week and find a promise that works for you, that you can root yourself in, that meets you exactly where you need to. Paul had that God wants me to preach in Rome. Perhaps you can say the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. And then when you find yourself rooted in that promise, go do something hard this week. Something that you've been avoiding, but you know that you've needed to do. Go do that hard thing. And in the midst of that, remind yourself to keep up your courage, that God is with you, and that God will bolster you from within. Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.